Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond, and I love to tell stories. Once upon a time, there was a little mouse who lived in an enchanted castle in an enchanted forest. And you might think that little mouse unlucky because the particular enchantment on that particular castle that this particular mouse lives in is that at sunset, everyone in the castle, except King Hans, but that's another story, but the queen, Queen Tabitha, and all the servants in the castle, all the cooks and gardeners and seamstresses and silversmiths and advisors and accountants and nurses and musicians, all of them, turn into cats. There are cats in the kitchens, in the cellars, in the libraries, in the smithies and stables and apothecaries, in the halls and up and down the staircases, on the window ledges and in every turret and tower, cats. You might think the little mouse, whose name is Primrose, because her mother named her after her favorite flower, is unlucky because of the number of cats she must avoid every night from sunrise to sunset just to stay alive. But Primrose is a pragmatic little mouse, and although most mice are nocturnal, meaning they prefer to go about all their mouse business during the dark of night, Primrose has adapted to sleeping all night in a little chink in the castle wall stuffed full of dandelion fluff to keep it soft and warm, and during the day she is wakeful and busy moving about under the not very watchful eye of humans whose gazes are much softer, slower, and more slack than the steely, sure gazes of cats. Primrose would be sleeping soundly right now, in her little chink in the castle wall, with the moonlight dancing on the waters of the moat that surrounds the enchanted castle full of cats, but she has been awoken by a knocking on the stones just outside her little dandelion fluff-filled nest. The first gentle knocks roused her from her deep sleep, and the next gentle knock sharpens her senses as she watches her little pile of baguette and cheese crumbs bounce a little from the vibrations of the knocking. Who is there? Primrose wants to squeak, but she worries, being so high up in a castle turret, that whoever is hovering outside her little home might be an owl, and she does not like owls, so she scurries to a little corner of her home where she can climb atop a pile about the height of a cupcake, of things she's collected because they are shiny, and where she can stand on her tippy toes. Primrose peeks at a safe distance through the wee crack outside into the night. She sees a silvery alicorn, a winged unicorn hovering there, and the alicorn is looking right at her with inkily black, heavily lashed eyes that sparkle with wisdom, and the alicorn says, "Primrose Mouse, daughter of Morning Glory the Mouse, granddaughter of Tulip the Mouse, great-granddaughter of Sunflower the Mouse, and great-great-granddaughter of Moonflower the Mouse, it is time for you to open the box that your great-great-grandmother Moonflower handed down to your great-grandmother Sunflower, who handed it down to your grandmother Tulip the Mouse, who handed it down to your mother Morning Glory, who handed it down to you, Primrose the Mouse. It is time for you to retrieve from the box the silver screw and spring and cog protected there within, and to scurry through the enchanted forest to the enchanted clock tower, and to climb the clock tower, and to replace the parts within the enchanted clock. You must do this between sunrise and sunset on this day." And then the alicorn spread and beat his wings once, twice, thrice, and lifted and soared off into the moonlit night. Primrose sighed. Of course she'd wondered about that ornate silver lacquered box adorned with a picture of a flying alicorn that her mother had given her on her first birthday, tied with a red velvet ribbon which fastened in place a scroll that read, "Important, keep contents safe and give to your first daughter on her first birthday." She'd opened the box many times before, turning the little silver key and the little silver lock, lifting the lid to reveal a tiny silver cog, a tiny silver spring, and a silver screw, all tiny enough to fit in a watch. She sighed because she'd hoped that the box wasn't a portent or a sign of a dangerous mission awaiting her, because she'd rather stay warm and safe eating cheese and baguette crumbs in her chink in the castle wall than go on a dangerous mission. But she had always suspected an alicorn, like the one adorning the silver lacquered box, would one day visit and change the course of her life forevermore. Primrose twirled her mouse tail around her mouse fingers, as she often did when she was thinking. If Primrose were to make it out of the enchanted cat castle and through the enchanted forest to the enchanted clock tower between sunup and sundown, she'd have to leave first thing in the morning, just as the drawbridge over the moat was lowered. To get to the castle doors at sunup, she'd have to make it down the castle stairs, past the kitchens, through the library, and through the ballroom, with the enormous picture window overlooking the lake where rainbow trout leapt. This was a dangerous place for a mouse to be at dawn, because so many cats congregated there in the ballroom to watch the trout leaping for their breakfast, licking their lips and twitching their tails hungrily. Primrose knew that she'd have to run past them all without turning their heads towards her, or they'd pounce on and devour her. The thing that attracted the attention of cats most was motion. But she'd have to move, and fast, to get through the ballroom. She'd run when the cats were looking at the fish leaping. She'd run as close to their twitching tails as possible, so that they'd think any flickers of motion in the furthest reaches of their vision was just the flickering of the other cats' tails. If any eyes were directed her way, she'd freeze and hope a leaping trout would turn the cat's attention back to the picture window. Primrose thought some more. She sometimes read books in the library during the day, if they'd been left open and she could scramble onto their pages. She'd once read about a battle technique called razzle-dazzle, in which, when a warrior knows he will be spotted by enemy eyes, he uses, instead of camouflage or stealth, flamboyant motion and colorful costumes to not conceal, but confuse the enemy instead. It just might be my best option here, thought Primrose. So this is what Primrose did. She took a scrap of rainbow ribbon that she'd collected from the sewing room floor, and she tied it around her waist. She tucked the key and the screw into her shiny rainbow sash. She took a shiny button, and she lashed it to her chest with strong thread, and then she tied a spiky seashell to her back. She took the spring from the box and poked her tail into it so that she was wearing the spring like a long bracelet on her tail, and she added some sequins and tied on long streamers so that her tail would not only sparkle and gleam and glint, but it would be followed by flame-colored silks and ribbons like she were a comet streaking through the night sky. On Primrose's head, she tied the tiny silver cog from the box, and then she attached a single yellow primrose flower on top of that, so that the important little piece of silver was not only concealed, but it looked like the little mouse was either wearing a golden crown or was in fact a strange furry flowering plant. Primrose looked into a shard of broken mirror that she'd collected at her reflection there, and she thought she looked finer than ever before in her razzle-dazzle armor. But every warrior needs a sword and shield, thought Primrose, so she rummaged through her pile of shiny things until she found a coin which she polished until gleaming to use as a shield, and then she reached into her belt for the silver screw and she held it up high in her little mouse paw. "You are a brave mouse," she told her reflection. "You are brave and good, and you will succeed." Primrose the mouse took one last look around at her cozy nest, the fluff, the crumbs of baguette and cheese, the collection of shiny things, and then she turned tail and she scampered down the turret wall down the stairs past the sleeping cat sprawled out in the halls. She paused before scampering past the kitchens. The cat servants, who were cooks, were rising with the sun and yawning and stretching and getting ready to make breakfast. Primrose waited until no cat faces were turned towards the kitchen doorway before she raced past it. She needed to cut through the library next, which was easy because books make cats so sleepy that any cats sleeping in the library are bound to be sleeping in well past sunrise. When she got to the ballroom, her breath caught in her throat. More than 20 cats were pushed up against the big picture window overlooking the lake. The fish in the lake were having a feeding frenzy, leaping for the early morning insects that hovered over the water. And the cats were meowing hungrily, licking their lips while watching the fish and stretching out their long claws and licking their tails in a most murderous way. Primrose felt her knees buckle and tremble and noticed that her shield was shaking in her hands. She considered running back to her little nest, but when she closed her eyes, she saw the alicorn's wise eyes looking back at her and the scroll that said, "Important," and she knew she must go on. She stuck to her plan. All the cats were staring out the picture window, so she scuttled just behind the line of cats, imitating with her body as much as she could the flicking motion of their tails as she leapt from behind each one to the next. And then Primrose was through the ballroom and running through the grand foyer just as the castle drawbridge was being lowered by cat servants, who were turning into human servants as they let down the drawbridge because of how the enchantment upon the cat castle lifted in the morning light, which was flooding into the castle. Primrose was running then through the enchanted forest, her lungs burning with the effort, but her body flooded with relief. She'd made it. She'd made it out of the cat castle. Then she stopped short in her tracks. Something tall and orange and sly was blocking her way. It was a fox with one paw lifted, and Primrose could see that he was about to swipe her into his clawed paw and lift her to his vicious maw. "Razzle dazzle!" squeaked Primrose, and she somersaulted in a tumble of ribbons and sequins and buttons and spiky shell armor, and she deked this way and that way, and anyone looking at the fox could tell he was clearly thinking, "What am I looking at right now? What is this thing? What is it doing?" And his confusion lasted just long enough for Primrose to race underneath him and onward, through a hollow log and out the other end, where a crow was waiting for something tasty to emerge. Well, the crow spotted Primrose, took wing, and followed her across the forest floor. She raced on. Then the crow swooped down with outstretched talons to grab Primrose by the tail. But Primrose's tail was not only armored by the spring, but extended with silk streamers, so that the crow grabbed her streamers, and when he yanked up, he got the streamers, but not Primrose. She kept running through the perilous dawn. Nothing in the enchanted forest tried to harm Primrose that morning that she couldn't distract with some of her razzle-dazzle. A leprechaun, spotting her, tried to grab her, but she tossed her shiny coin shield in the opposite direction, and the leprechaun chased the coin instead of the little mouse. The giant spider, the bridge troll, the green witch, the half-lizard, half-horse, otherwise known as a pegaguana, the malicious vine, and the chimera just dropped their jaws when Primrose dashed by. And then she was there. At the enchanted clock tower, Primrose climbed up and up the clock tower stairs and stood looking at all the complicated mechanisms of the clockworks. All the cogs and gears and pendulums in the great clock were grinding and turning and swinging. Something told Primrose that she was asked to do this job because it was a job only a little creature like a mouse could do. So she climbed underneath the clock to investigate. Why did the alicorn send her here with a silver cog, a silver spring, a silver screw, and a tiny silver key. When Primrose was underneath the clock, she could see a very small staircase such that only a mouse could climb. And so up she went. At the top of the staircase, there were numerous clockworks that whirred and clicked, but only one set of gears was still. It wasn't whirring and turning at all, and also, it was made of silver. Primrose knew what she had to do. She studied the other cogs and gears in the clockwork until she understood how and where the little cog was supposed to fit. Then she clicked it into place. Then she observed how the other springs fit into the clockwork and saw how to tension back a fine silver hammer using the spring and the screw. When the spring was in place, the fine silver clockwork began to whir and turn, and the tiny silver teeth of the cog caught in other gears around it, and they began to turn together. And the whole clock began to make a ticking sound that was quite pleasant to Primrose. Primrose had just enough sunlight to do this by before the sun set on the clock tower, and she began to wonder if the key was important. Just then, the candle sconces on the tiny staircase behind her lit up, and she saw that the staircase went further up. Though she was terribly tired, she followed the staircase up to a heavy wooden door with a lock into which the silver key fit. When she went inside the room, she found a bed, all covered in silks, just the color of the primrose flower on her head, and a basket of baguette crumbs, and another of cheese rinds, and a tiny golden crown that looked like a primrose flower. And beside it was a note from the alicorn that just said, "Primrose, razzle dazzle, queen of the clock tower. I knew you could do it." "I knew I could too," thought Primrose, and she nibbled on some cheese and bread, and she took off what was left of her armor and her razzle-dazzle, and she climbed into the silk bed and fell asleep.